Father, we just thank you, Lord, as we come around your word, Lord. You're a gracious God. You're a good God, Lord, even as we've prayed, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you speak to each of us. Lord, your word is living, it's active, Lord, that it does cut and divide, Lord, between our thoughts, Lord, our emotions, Lord. It's discerning, it gets right into our hearts, Lord. And so, Lord, we just commit your word to us today, Lord, that you will speak to us. Lord, help me, Lord, just to communicate your heart this day as we gather in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Well, we've been talking this year, our theme about being on fire for the Lord and to be a passionate worshiper. And we're talking about being a passionate worshiper. We're not talking about you standing there with your hands up. That's a small part of our worship, an important part, a critical part of it, but it's not. It's a whole lifestyle. It's our whole life which makes us a passionate worshiper, that makes us on fire. And in the context of us being talking about on fire, to this point, we've really been talking about having that fire and that passion, that love for the Lord, our devotion for him, a heart for the Lord, for his kingdom, for his people, loving him with everything that we are, with everything that's within our heart. And I want to cranked it up a little bit now and look at another aspect of being on fire, and particularly when it comes down to our service for the Lord. There's a scripture, it'll come up in Romans 12:11. It's in one of the key scriptures that we've been looking at. Romans 12:11, it says, never, it says it once, I'm saying it three times, it says it once, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Never be lacking in zeal. Doesn't matter what circumstance, it doesn't matter what time it is, doesn't matter whether you're tired, doesn't matter whether you're struggling, doesn't matter if you're going through a difficult situation. Never, never, never be lacking in zeal. Keep your spiritual fervor, that fire, keep that passion, keep it for the Lord and serving the Lord. And those last couple of words are important there about serving the Lord. Because if we really are on fire for the Lord, if you're really passionate, you will be actively involved in serving the Lord. Now, it is possible for someone to serve the Lord and not be on fire for the Lord. It's possible that out of a sense of religious duty, it's out of a sense of obligation or a sense of, well, it's something I've always done. And so we can serve without being on fire. But I put it to us this morning that if you are on fire, you will be serving. You will be outworking the things of God in your life. And that's a good little test in our own hearts. Am I really on fire? Because if I'm never lacking in zeal, but I'm keeping my spiritual fervor, I'm keeping that fire in my heart, serving the Lord. And so are we serving the Lord? Now, in Victoria, we have a code for the bushfires, and we've got a fire danger rating. And on a day like today, it probably is low and moderate. And if you drive anywhere in the country, you'll see these signs everywhere. They used to be little manual ones. I used to wonder about who was the little man that used to have to run out every morning and move the hands on all these signs everywhere through country Victoria and through different places. Now it's all digital. If somebody just pushes a button somewhere and the little light comes on. But today would be a day, I haven't checked it, but I'm assuming this is probably a low to moderate fire danger on a day like today. And then there can be high, very high, severe, extreme, or code red. Code red is run for your life in a nice orderly fashion, of course. And so you've got different levels of this fire danger rating. But also this could be something we could use this little thing, this little guide, and have a look at our own hearts and just think for a moment, whereabouts are we on this scale? Am I low to moderate in terms of my passion for the Lord and for serving the Lord? Am I high? Very high. I think, very high, is that sounds pretty good. Severe. Extreme. Well, I'm extreme. If we think we were extreme, we would think that was pretty good. But what the Lord wants from us is every one of us to be on fire, to be living in this code red, that we are passionate about God, consumed by the Lord, loving him with such a zeal and intensity and a passion with our heart, that the things of God are our life. It's everything to us. It's not a tack on, not an add-on, not something that we do, but it's the substance. It's a core of who we are and the overflowing of that in our life, that we be people that are a code red person. And that's really what we're talking about when we're talking about on fire. Where are you? You can set your own scale. Every morning, maybe you need to set your little dial. I trust that when you wake up in the morning, you go, boom, code red. Today is a code red day. Every day of my life, I want to be a code red. I want to be on fire, passionate for God, never lacking in zeal. Not when I'm tired, I'm going through a hard time, I'm not feeling very well, I'm this, I'm that, or whatever. Never lacking in zeal. always, which is to keep your spiritual fervor and serving the Lord. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is serving the Lord. Because you can't claim to be on fire for the Lord. You can't say, I'm truly on fire for God if you're not serving the Lord. It goes together. It's an overflow, the passion that you will serve the Lord. You will reach out to people. You will love people. You'll care for people. You'll be serving the Lord. And that's what the scripture is telling us. Never be lacking in zeal. And always to have that heart to be serving the Lord. And so where are you this morning? If you have a look at that, are you code red? Or you might be saying, well, I'm extreme. That's pretty good. It's code red where we want to be. Samuel Chadwick said this, spirit-filled souls are ablaze for God. They love with a love that glows. They serve with a faith that kindles. They serve with a devotion that consumes. They hate sin with a fierceness that burns. They rejoice with a joy that radiates. Love is perfected in the fire of God. I love that. Great little quote of Samuel Chadwick. Scripture we really want to focus on this morning is one that many of us are probably familiar with, many of us have probably heard before, but I really want us to take, I believe the Lord wants to really challenge every one of us today, whether you think you're in code red or you think, well, I'm extreme, that's pretty good, or severe, that's not bad, is it? That's pretty good. No, it's code red. That's what we want to be. We want to be full on for the things of God, passionate for the things of God. And so we don't want to delude ourselves or fall under the trap of thinking that I'm full on, I'm a code red if I'm not serving the Lord. And as I said, you can serve out of all wrong reasons and do that with a moderate and mediocre heart. It's not whether you're serving and it's not, but you will be serving if you have such a heart. It flows out of who we are if we're code red. I want to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, 5 to 7. And it's a passage that we're familiar with. It's Paul is coming to the time where he's getting right towards the end of his life, and he's sowing into a young Timothy. Young Timothy, who was raised up under him, became an apostle under Timothy. And Paul, who didn't have his own natural children, he was like a son to him. And he talks a little bit earlier in this passage that, you know, when the last time he saw him, Timothy was bawling his eyes out, maybe thinking, I'm never going to get to see you again. Paul was like his dad, so much like a father to him, a spiritual father. And as Paul is writing to encourage young Timothy, he starts reflecting on some things and then challenges him with something that challenges each and every one of us that are here today. It says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is through you by the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid, or another translation doesn't make us, give us a spirit of timidity, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. But the core part that I really want to focus on this morning is, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. And so there was a time of laying on of hands, a prophetic impartation, a gift of God that was imparted at that time. And probably before we talk about fanning into a flame the gift of God, it's probably a good idea to say, well, what are we talking about when we're talking about the gift of God? Because some of us might read that a little bit earlier, because he talked about faith, and we might think that what he's saying is stirring up his whole faith and his whole walk in God, that he needs to stir that up. Now, that's true. We all do need to do that. But that's not specifically what Paul is addressing here. He's talking about a gift of God that was imparted spiritually into his life. And so that's what we're talking about. And specifically, we know that if you look at, and it will come out, 1 Timothy 4, verse 14, we know what the spiritual gift is that he's actually challenging, Paul is challenging Timothy about, challenging him to stir up. It says, do not neglect your gift which was given you for prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you. And then he goes on and immediately starts talking about devoting himself to teaching and to preaching. And to do that. So we know that really what he's really encouraging Timothy in about his particular gift for Timothy was preaching and teaching. And he was maybe a little bit timid, a little bit afraid, maybe a little bit scared and not so sure about that. And Paul was saying, no, come on, that God's given you that gift, it's been put in your heart, and you need to fan that into a flame, what God has put within your heart and within your life, and you need to use the gift that God has given you. And that was a challenge that has been given. So when we're talking about fanning into the flame, up to this point as a church, we've been talking about our passion, our devotion, our love for God and the things of God, and just honouring Him, loving Him with the intensity and everything that's within us, with our whole heart, our whole life, and to do that sacrificially and completely loving and honouring God. But this context here of fanning into the flame is about the gifts that God has placed within each and every one of us. And if you're sitting here today and you're alive and breathing, which is nearly everyone, I think we're all alive and we're all breathing, there's gifts that God has planted into you, in your life and into your heart. And the challenge is for us to fan it into a flame. Now you may think, well, I'm already utilizing that. Well, it doesn't matter what level you think you're at. The challenge for every one of us is to fan that into the flame, the gifts that God has placed within our heart. Because if we're on fire for God, we're going to be serving God with everything that's within us. There's an overflow out of our own heart that touches the lives of others and helps build the kingdom of God. And so it's so important that we don't neglect the gift. And Timothy, you think Timothy would know, but he, because he was timid, because he grew up maybe feeling a little bit timid, his father wasn't a Jew, his father was a Gentile, and because of that, that's why his grandmother had to teach him. That was what they would have done, is the grandmother would have taken the responsibility, because he was a Gentile, couldn't teach him all the books of the Torah, and so the grandmother, then she would step into the role that the father wasn't taking, and then the grandmother would stand in that place and impart those things and teach Timothy. And so that's why Paul has honoured the grandmother for what she's imparted into it. For Lois, the grandmother, for what she imparted into Timothy. But maybe because of that, but maybe because of in that culture having a Gentile father, maybe there was a little bit of timidity within Paul. Maybe he felt a little bit uncomfortable, and particularly when he's talking to Jews that are, you know, born and bred Jews, and maybe feeling a little bit intimidated. We don't really know. But the challenge was him to use the gift that was placed within him, to fan it in the flame. And that's the challenge for you and for me, is to fan into the flame the gift that God has placed within us. And it's really more than one gift. You've actually got a lot more gifts in you than you ever actually realize. But the challenge is, are you using them and are you fanning them into the flame? And so it's really important that for this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God. I'll talk about the reason in just a moment. We're talking about the gift of God. And when we talk about the gift of God, the thing that we've got to remember when we're talking about the gift of God is that it's God's gift. It actually belongs to God. It's His gift. He has full call on it. He has full ownership of it. It's actually God's gift. And that's a really important point for us to understand. Because if we think that now, oh, God has given this gift to me and now it's mine, if I think like that, then the way that I utilize that is going to actually be wrong. Because if it's my gift for me, then I will use that gift when I want to. I will use that gift when it's convenient for me. I'll use that gift when I feel like I'm available, when I'm feeling okay, when I'm feeling like, yep, okay, yeah, okay, I will use this gift today. And if it's my gift, then I think I've got the right to do that. I think I can do that whenever I like. I don't feel like using what God has given me today, so I'm not going to use it. Or, no, it's not convenient. I've got something else on. There's other things that I want to do, other things, other places, other things I can do. So I'm not going to use that, the gift of God today. It's not convenient. And we can think that if we think this is our gift, I can turn it on, turn it off when I want to, and it's up to me. But that's a perverted way of looking at what God has invested within us. It's actually God's gift, which He owns. He owns that gift. And He has full call on it. He has full control over it, full course over it. We just have to yield to it. And that's the problem, where we don't yield to it and allow God to flow through us. And so, no, I'm not going to do that today, even though I have that gift, because it's not convenient. I'm a bit tired, I'm a bit busy, I'm a bit this or that. And so we can put aside the very gift that God has given us to suit ourselves. Now, I'm not saying that there are times when we need time out. There are times when you need to take a break. And as the scripture reminds us that a blunt axe is going to take a lot of effort. Sometimes you need to take some time out to sharpen the axe. You need to take some time to replenish, some time to take out, to refresh and to rebuild ourselves. We need to do that. But the general mindset or the general demeanor, the general posture of our life needs to be that I'm ready to use this gift of God, and it's on call. It's not for me to determine I'm busy today, so I'm not going to use it. It's not for me to say, oh, look, I'm tired, I'm not going to do it. No, this gift of God, it's God's gift. It belongs to God, and he has full ownership. He has full call upon that gift, and I need to be ready to use that whenever the Lord says. And so it's so important to understand that. And some people see that the gift that they have is they wear that gift like a badge of honor, that, oh, I have a gift, and therefore it's like a badge of honor upon my life. And it's not like that. Whatever gift that God has given us is merely a tool that he has placed within our hands. And so you don't go running around and saying, oh, look, I'm a great carpenter. I can do this and that. But you never actually do anything. It doesn't mean anything. The gift that God has given you, it's just a tool in your hand. It's a tool in God's hand that is placed within our heart. It's not a badge of honor that we can wear. It's merely a tool that's in our hand that he wants us to use. He's wanting to fan into the flame the gift of God that he has given us. It's God's. It belongs to him. Not when I feel like using it, not when it's convenient, but it's God's gift. And when that gift is needed, when that gift is called upon, I yield that gift and I surrender that gift, and it's used for God's glory. Because at the end of the day, it's about him, it's not about us. And so it doesn't matter where the gift is. It doesn't matter what the gift is or what the gift is from, whether it's one of the motivational gifts. You'll see in Romans 12 is a list of all the motivation gifts, whether it's leading, serving, giving acts of mercy, whether it's been administration, doing administrative work, whatever it is, the gifts of God, whether it's those kind, whether it's the ascension gifts that we find in Ephesians 4. It talks about pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets and evangelists. You know, is it one of those kind of gifts? Is it one of the spiritual gifts that are 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about tongues and interpretation and prophecies and miracles and gifts of faith and words of wisdom and knowledge and discerning of spirits and those kind of gifts? Doesn't matter whatever the source of the gift is, we've got to fan that into the flame. Whether it's given by the Father, the motivational gifts are given by the Father, built into who we are. The ascension gifts, it says, were given by Christ when he ascended. And then the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 are given by the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all given, actively involved in giving gifts. And you've been given gifts. I've been given gifts. And the question is, are we fanning that into the flame? Are we fanning that? Are we causing that to rise? And it really is our responsibility to use the gift of God. You know, the thing about Timothy, even though his father was a Gentile, but even still, he had an incredible heritage. His grandmother Lois, incredible woman of God, obviously a very powerful woman of God. And then she had a daughter, Eunice. And Eunice was obviously an incredible woman of God, and they'd sown into Timothy, teaching him the things of God. And obviously later on, Paul had come into Timothy's life when he was still a fairly young man, taken him under his wing and discipled him, mentored him, and taught him the things of God, and that he would grow in those things. But he had a great heritage. But see, having a great heritage was not enough. You can have a wonderful pedigree spiritually. You can be, you know, your great-great-grandmother, she was a Christian, and then all the way through you can trace it back to generations. Doesn't matter. He had a great heritage, but he still had to fan the gift of God into a flame. He had a genuine faith. So he wasn't a phony. He wasn't pretending. He wasn't just in there for the ride. He had a genuine faith. He genuinely loved God. He genuinely loved God. And very careful about judging where people are at. He genuinely loved God. He loved God with all his heart. It was a sincere faith. Had a genuine and a sincere faith and an incredible heritage. And yet despite all of those things, you think, well, out of that should be enough. Great heritage. You've got, a genuine and sincere faith. You've got great gifting. Wow, it wasn't enough. He still had to fan into the flame the gift that God had given him. He had to take that responsibility to utilize that and to see that gift to grow and to be used to all the potential that God had for him. And we think about the gifts of God that in our lives. And as I said before, every one of us that are here today, every one of us, you have incredible gifts invested within your life. You might say, well, I'm not that, you know, I'm not all that talented. I can't sing. I can't play guitar. I can't tap dance. Well, fantastic. We're not talking about necessarily natural abilities, although a lot of those things are given by God. They're built into who you are, part of those motivational gifts that we were talking about a little bit earlier in Romans. But I'm talking about there's things that God has invested within each and every one of our lives. And are we using them? Are we using them to that extent that we're code red even in those things, that's something that we're really, really passionate about, something we're devoted about, and something that we're utilizing? Are we fanning that into a flame? Now, we know the parable of the talents. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Matthew 25. I'm not going to read the whole parable, but I'll just read the first couple of verses and then the last little bit here. It says, Matthew 25, 14 to 15, and then verse 19, it says, again, it'll be like a man. So he's talking about the kingdom of God. Be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. So Jesus is teaching them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, or depending on your translation, I might say 5 talents. To another 2 bags, or 2 talents. And another 1 bag, each according to his ability. And so God has invested within each of us. There's some natural abilities maybe that God has built into us, some motivational gifts and things he's built into us. There's a context, there's a framework. Maybe there's an education opportunity that you had which helps in a particular area. But God has invested in every one of us. And it tells here about 5 bags or 2 bags or 1 bag of gold. The Greek word is talents, is which most translations used to have for us, because when people think of talents, they think of singing, acting, and whatever else. It's to make us realize that it's far more broader than those things, that they've used the language of bags of gold. But when the scripture talks about talents, get given 5 talents or 2 or 1. Now remember, everyone has been given those things. Everyone has those invested in us. And you think, okay, well, 5 talents, what's that worth? Or 2 talents? Or what is 1 talent? What if I've been given just 1 talent? Because you might look at someone and think, gee, they've got 5 talents. Look at someone else, gee, they've got 2. And look at yourself and think, I've only got 1 talent. Well, just to give you an idea, 1 talent, 1 gold talent, is the equivalent of 20 years' labour for a day labourer. 20 years' wages. Now, the average wage in Australia, I don't know, it's about $80,000. I don't know many people that earn that kind of money, but that's supposedly the average. But let's say the real average, I don't know, let's say it's 50,000, say. So 20 times 50 is 1 million. So the person who had the least amount given to them had $1 million worth. And that's how we need to look at our life. You may think, oh, I'm just a one-talent person. You get $1 million inside of you. You've got $1 million worth of potential, at least that. Maybe you've got 2 million, maybe you've got 5 million potential. But when you look at yourself, remember, I've got at least $1 million worth of potential within my life that the Lord has invested within us. And so when we look at ourselves and think, oh, you know, poor little weak, useless little me, we're actually using some false humility there. Now, we don't walk around with big heads because we think I can do this and I can do that. But when we think that we're nothing, when we think that we've got nothing that we can do, that there's nothing invested within us, we actually dishonor God. We dishonor the one who created us, who has created every one of us with potential, created every one of us with a call upon our life to serve and to honour him. Every one of us have been created with that. And as I said, $1 million of potential minimum in each of our lives. And so don't think you're useless and you can do nothing. You're not being humble. You're dishonouring God when you say that. And our heart and intention is not to do that. But that kind of humility is wrong. And humility is not ever thinking that you're useless or you're hopeless. Humility is not thinking about yourself at all. That's what true humility is. You don't come into the equation. You're not thinking about yourself. You're not worried about yourself. You're not worried about people saying or thinking or not thinking you're good or this or whatever. You don't come into the equation. That's what true humility is. And so if you've put yourself down and you think, well, I'm no good, I'm nothing, you know, just remember you're at least $1 million in your life that God has invested in your heart and into your life. $1 million worth of potential, maybe 2, maybe 5, who knows? But you have something very important invested in your life by the Lord. And the challenge for us is to stir up to fan in the flame the gift of God. Never, never, never lacking in zeal, but we're fervent, we're passionate, and we're serving the Lord. That's a challenge for each and every one of us. Now, we know the story of the parable of talents in Matthew 25. He gives 5 to 1, 2 to 1, and then 1 to another person. He goes off, he comes back sometime later. We don't know exactly how long, sometime, however long sometime is. Might be a year, might be 2 years. I think there's a bit of time passed. And then the first one who had the 5 talents, the master says to them, obviously that's a picture of the Lord himself and us, the servants. One had given 5, and he said, well, what have you done? What have you done with what I invested in your life? What did you do with what I gave you, what I poured into you? And he said, well, you gave me 5, and look, Lord, I gave you 5 more. And the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. This is the context of that scripture. Good and faithful servant, well done, I gave you 5, you got 5 more, come and enter into your master's gladness. Next guy comes up and he says, well, what did you do with what I gave you? He said, Lord, you gave me 2, and I got 2 more. And the Lord goes, wow, fantastic. Well done, good and faithful servant. Come on, come, come, enter into the joy of your master. And the last one comes up and he says, come to one who gave 1, he had $1 million invested in him. And he says, and the Lord says to him, what did you do with what I gave you? And the person says, well, Lord, I knew you were pretty tough, you know, and actually dishonors him what he says, you know. He says, oh, look, I knew you're a hard taskmaster and you reap what you didn't sow and da-da-da-da-da-da and says these quite negative things. And then the master says, well, if you thought I was like that, then the very least you could have done is taken that and put it on deposit and got some kind of return. But what did he do? He just took it and he hid it in the ground. Didn't do anything. Didn't serve, didn't honor. But he said, look, here's your money back, God. I didn't lose what you gave me. And not losing what he gave us isn't the point. It's using what he's given us. That's the point. And so what is the Lord looking for in your life? You got 5, he wants 5 back. You got 2, he wants 2 back. If he gives you 1, he wants 1 back. He wants 100% return. That's what he wants, 100% from all of us. 100% return from whatever he's invested within our lives. And so to do that, we want to be ones that are fanning into the flame. It's not a once-off activity. It's fanning that into the flame. It's very easy to allow things to wane down, even the gifts, the abilities, the things that God has put within you, the desires, the things that he's placed within you, what he's imparted, what he's impregnated into your spirit, what he's given us. We can let that wane down. And that's why he's saying Timothy, who has this incredible spiritual pedigree of godly grandmother and mother that have sown into him, the Apostle Paul, who was sown into him, and he has a genuine head income, true, real, sincere faith. He still has to fan it into a flame, and so do we. We've got to fan into the flame the gift of God. It's so important for us to do that we are fanning that gift of God into a flame. But acknowledge that you've got a gift. Don't ever, ever dishonor God by saying you can't do anything. Because that's simply not true. And even if your physical condition is a hindrance, and it can be for some, the physical circumstances, but you can pray. And even if you can't talk, you can pray in your mind, in your spirit. You can do something. You can use that. You can use whatever God has given you, whether it's to do something with your hands, whatever it is, touching a heart, reaching out, pouring God's love on someone, serving in some practical way. We all really should be involved in serving. It's a part of having that overflow and that passion of the Lord within our heart. So where are we? Are we code red when it comes to that? Is your heart condition red? When there's a need, I'm code red, I'm in there. When there's a situation, I step in there. Or do I own the gift? And I'll tell you when I want to use it. And I'll tell you when I'm available. And I'll tell you. And when I feel good and ready, I will come and I'll use my gift. That's wrong. It's God's gift, and we give him our very best every occasion. We give him everything that we have, everything that we are, and we honor and we serve the Lord because it's his gift. It's not my gift. I don't pick and choose when and where, and that's the difference between someone that is a servant and a slave. You know, we have the heart of God that we want to serve Him willingly, and we give Him the very best that we have all of the time. We don't pick and choose what it is. Paul called himself a bondslave because he was saying, "Lord, it's at Your disposal. Everything I have is Yours, Lord, whenever You want it. I don't claiming it's mine, and so I don't turn it on and turn it off when I feel like it. Lord, I'm obedient to You." And so the challenge for us is to fan it into the flame. And if you don't know what some of the gifts of God that you have, then I'd read the Bible for a start, and that will show you some of the things that have been placed within you. I'd also pray if you're not sure. I'd say, "Lord, just reveal to me. Lord will show you that." If you're still not sure, come and ask someone. Come and see Noel. He'll come and help you find whatever gifts and callings and things that are in your life if you're not sure about some of those things. But every one of us, remember, I want you to go and I've got $1 million invested within me of the things of God, minimum, and God wants to return on that. He wants another million back. That's what He's looking for. He's looking for 100% return in our heart. So how do we fan into the flame the things of God? Well, one of the most important things is to recognize that it is your responsibility. It's my responsibility. Don't expect someone else to do it. If you're not code red and you're looking on that meter and you'll come down, don't look to anyone else and don't blame anyone else. The condition of our heart and the passion of our heart is entirely dependent upon us. Where we are on that, you can't blame anyone else. Timothy couldn't turn around and say, "Oh, it was Grandma's fault," or "It was my mum's fault." No, that timidity that he led into his life, let fear come into his life, and is undisciplined in some areas. And so having been self-disciplined, a disciplined mind, and maybe feeling a sense of a bit of rejection, and maybe he suffered a little bit of rejection, having a Gentile father, and maybe he felt insecure in who he was and some of those things. And Paul says, God hasn't given us any of that stuff. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. He's given us a spirit of love and a power and a sound mind, and you've got to stand in the authority that you have. You have an authority over your life. You have such an authority in the name of Jesus Christ, and we've got to stand in that, walk in that, and live in that. And the first thing to know, to realize, is that I have a gift in God, and it's my responsibility. Not my grandma's, not my mother's, not someone else. It's up to me to fan it into the flame. And it's a responsibility. It doesn't matter how good our heritage is, or even if it was a bad one. Doesn't matter. It's up to us. Where we're at, it depends on us, no one else. We've got to fan that into a flame. Notice it's our responsibility. The way to get a fire, to fan a fire. See, there's a couple of things to get a fire, to get it red hot, to get it going. One is the thing that a fire really needs to do that, it needs oxygen. The more oxygen that you put on a fire, the brighter that fire will go. Put a lot of oxygen on it, it'll explode. Oxygen can actually be explosive. Lots of oxygen on a flame, it'll just... So it needs oxygen. The flame needs oxygen on it. And if you want to get that flame in your own life, you need to allow the wind of the Holy Spirit to be blowing upon your life. You need to allow the Holy Spirit to do that. Spending time in the Lord's presence is the way that the wind of the Spirit blows upon your heart. Blows away all of the cobwebs, all the things, all the confusion, all the doubts that maybe Timothy was feeling, you know, feeling rejected, feeling hopeless, timid, afraid. What are people going to say about me? What do people think about me? Such a trap of the devil. Never be one bound by what people think or say about you. Biggest trick that he uses for people, one of the biggest, is to have people worried about what other people are saying and thinking about them. Maybe Timothy fell into that. That's a lie of the devil. If you're worried about that, then you're not going to be utilizing the gifts that God has given you. You've got to be free of that. He's given you a spirit of love and power and a sound mind, discipline. It's what he's put upon us. And so we're not bound by that. But we need the Spirit of God to blow upon our lives. Sometimes there needs to be intense times. You know, where they've got a fire, I've been down to Sovereign Hill there, and I've watched the guy there making, you know, the metalworking guy, the blacksmith, and making all sorts of stuff. And to get that fire really going, they've got these massive bellows, and he pushes this thing, and this big bellow closes, and it just pumps all this oxygen on. It just goes white, really hot. And if you really want to fan that in the flame, then maybe take some time aside and do that. Have a concentrated time of prayer and say, Lord, I just really want to have that fire just burning maybe afresh in my heart. Lord, that you're just going to oxygenate it with the Spirit of God upon that, the things that you place within me, Lord, that they will be burning and they will be fanning up into a flame. Do that. Take time to put the allow the Spirit of God to stir those things up in your heart. So important to do that. The Word of God will stir that. Because if you're not utilizing the gifts that are given you, part of the reason often is that we've lost sight of the cause. We're not sure why we should be doing that. Sure, we can, but why should we? Well, if we know the cause and that burns within our heart, we will. But some get caught up and distracted by so many, many things in life. And we lose sight of the cause. We lose sight of the purpose of what is this thing for? The gift that God's given you is to help facilitate and to build the kingdom of God, to touch lives, to see people come into eternal relationship with their Father in heaven. It's what God has invested within in your heart. But if you forget that, if you forget the priority of the kingdom of God, of seeing people coming to know Jesus Christ, then you'll become a picker and chooser. I'll pick it up when I want to. I'll put it down when I want to. But if the cause of Christ is so burning within our heart, we will do everything that we can to see people one to Christ, to see the kingdom of God build and establish and to grow. Whether it's a small thing, you might think, oh, that doesn't mean so very much. But it's very important, you know. And just, you know, I've said it many times, but I honored John with Gubisette with our lawns and stuff. Because that's a great testimony there. If we were there, there's all weeds all hanging up over there. That is a reflection of us as a people, but also it's a reflection of what we think about God. And so that's an important way of just keeping the place looking good, the garden, the lawns mowed and looking good. It's a part of representing and that's a part of serving. It's a part of people seeing, well, hang on, those people are serious about what they do. If our grass was always overgrown and everything looked a mess, people think, well, these guys obviously don't really care so much about this stuff, so why should anybody else? They're diligent about what they do. They have a heart for it. And everything, every ministry, all of the things that we do, from practical things to imparting life, encouraging people, standing with them, praying for them, whatever it is, all of those things are important in building the kingdom of God. And we can never underestimate that. Fellowship is so important. You coming to church is so important because as you gather with your brothers and sisters, then the wind of the Spirit is just blowing upon your own spirit. Even as you're sitting here now, the wind of the Spirit is blowing over your own heart and beginning to fan and stir up things within your own heart, even now. As we come together, as we lift our hands in worship, and as we honor God, then the breath, the wind of the Spirit is blowing upon us and causing that fire to burn even brighter, those desires within our heart. And so that's why we come together. It's so important. Don't neglect that. Don't neglect that. Don't let that go because it's such an important part of fanning it into the flame. Ultimately, it's our responsibility, yes, but you help me. You encourage me. Your very presence encourages me. The things that you say encourage me. And I hear a good testimony. I think, praise God, God is a good God. He's a faithful God. And those things will help oxygenate my spirit. They help fan it into a flame. And so for one another, as we talk with one another, as we bless one another, we're an important part of helping fan that into the flame. You take that little coal and you sit it outside somewhere and not in fellowship, it'll start to go down. And it'll start to go down. And as the fire goes down, the service goes down and then maybe the service stops. Maybe the fire's still there. Maybe there's still a genuine and a sincere faith, maybe even a great heritage. But the fire isn't burning. The gift isn't on fire. And so fellowship is really, really important as we encourage one another. Praise God for Lois and for Eunice, who were a great encouragement. Praise God for Paul, great encouragement to young Timothy to see the gift of God stirred up within his heart. The other thing about a fire is that you need to let a fire breathe. You know, I've tried to build fires when I was younger and you know, you chuck all the wood on and the thing starts to burn. You think, oh, great, it's going now. So what you do, you get all this wood and chuck it on and then, oh, where did the fire go? So I think it still needs to be oxygenated and we can clutter up and we can clutter up our lives. And just maybe there's a time where we have to declutter some of the things in our lives. If you're not on fire and code red in your heart and passion, and maybe there's some decluttering that has to happen. Maybe there's some stuff that you've chucked on your life that what it's doing is it's actually smothering the wind of the Spirit or the breath of the Spirit, stopping that from being activated within our heart. So we're taking on this thing and we're doing this thing and we're taking on this worry or this problem, this concern, which we can't even do anything about, so why would I take it on? I say, Lord, I can't do anything about it. Things I can do something about, Lord, I'll do what I can. What I can't, Lord, I'm just going to have to rest in you. Whatever it is that we pull upon ourselves. And maybe Timothy had cluttered up his own life. Maybe timidity, fear of what other people think of him. Fear of being in front of people. What are they going to say? Maybe that had cluttered up his life. Maybe that was stifling some of the oxygen. Power and authority. Maybe he didn't feel like he had an authority in his life. He didn't realize who he was fully in Christ. And we have such an incredible authority. But maybe he felt a little bit intimidated by others and worried about what other people said and were thinking over him of love. And as I said, maybe he felt a sense of a bit of rejection. And as I said, probably as a young Jewish boy growing up with a Gentile father and a Jewish mother, he probably did go through some bit of rejection in his life. And so maybe he was worried about people rejecting him. What if people want to talk to me? What if they push me away? And was afraid to give out of what God had given him because he was worried about what people would say or think or do to him. And maybe that cluttered the fire. Maybe you're like that. Maybe, well, yeah, that's me. Maybe when you think, yeah, look, I've actually done that, and therefore the fire within me is just down low because of that. Maybe we have to unclutter in our lives. It's a part of fanning in the flame. You want that fire to get bright again in your heart. Maybe some things you need to stop doing. Maybe some things you're worried about, you've got to stop worrying about. Things that you're trying to do which you can't do, and you've got to try to stop doing that. Maybe declutter your life and allow the wind of the Spirit to blow upon your life. And of course, the bottom line is, if you want to fan it in the flame, you've got to use it. Use the gift that you have. Start using that. The more that you use a gift that God has given you, the brighter that will begin to burn. The more that becomes oxygenated by the Spirit of God, and you've decluttered your life and you're encouraging others in fellowship, but you're using what God has placed within you, then that fire begins to burn brightly. And so look at your own life. As I said, the very beginning, you know, we had that little chart there up there on the screen. Where are you? You low to moderate, or you're high, you're severe, or you know, where are you at? Are you extreme? You're code red? Where are we? What about the gifts of God? And don't go and use the excuse, oh, I can't do anything, I'm too this or I'm too that. You've got $1 million minimum invested in you right now where God is looking for 100% return on. 100% return. And that's the challenge for us. Fan it into a flame. If we truly grab a hold of that and do that, it's transformative not only just to us, but to everyone around us, to the community, to your workplace, to your schoolmates, to your friends, your neighbours, to everyone. It's transformative. And so let's do that. Let's begin to fan into the flame. Let's stand. I want to pray for us. I want to pray for us this morning that the wind of the Spirit is just going to blow upon you with such a power today. Such a the wind of the Spirit. Now, first thing we got to do is declutter our mind. If you're thinking about, oh, what have I got to have for lunch? No, you know what you're having lunch? You're having lunch here, so don't have to worry about that one. Thinking about all this whole lot of other stuff that you're going to be doing, just put all that aside. And I'm just going to pray that the Lord is just going to breathe his wind upon every heart this day. But we've got to do it from now on. We've got to walk in that. We want to fan into the flame the gift of God and use it. Use it. If you're not using it, or if you're not sure, come and ask us and we'll help you find it. But you need to use it. You need to use what God has invested within our hearts. So, Father, we just come before you. Now, let's just lift our hands to him now, just as a sign of a yielded heart. Lord, we lift our hands to you. And, Lord, as we stand here in your holy presence, Lord, I just give an invitation, Lord, for the wind of your Spirit, Lord, to blow upon every heart, even now, Lord, as we open our heart to you. Lord, as we stand in your holy presence, Lord, the wind of your Spirit begin to blow upon every person that is here today. Every heart, Lord, we just declutter every excuse, Lord, every reason, everything that will cause us, Lord, to make every excuse or whatever hindrance, we see them gone in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just see the wind of your Spirit blowing upon every heart now. In Jesus' name, Lord, that we fanning into a flame, Lord, as the wind of your Spirit comes. And Lord, that we determine this day, Lord, that from this time onwards, Lord, we're going to be conscientious to never be lacking in zeal, Lord, but we're going to fan into a flame every day. And Lord, we're going to use the gifts that you've given us, Lord, and we're going to see the kingdom of God extended and expanded as we do that, Father. But Lord, even now, as we stand here now, Lord, let the wind of your Spirit touch every heart. Just breathe the breath of your Spirit, the wind of your Spirit in every heart. Lord, where there's been a little flame, Lord, let it grow. Lord, where there's been a bright flame, Lord, let it be a brighter flame. Lord, where there was an extreme flame, Lord, let it become a code red flame this day. Lord, just blow your Spirit upon us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.